Well, once again, we're continuing our little mini-series that we started as we began doing online services. It's a series that I felt like the Lord was leading me to do because of the times that we find ourselves in. And the title of this little mini-series is simply this: Warning, Do Try This at Home. And it's simply a play on the disclaimer that you see in many of the TV shows that have dangerous stunts and activities where they put up those words and say something along the lines of, warning, do not try this at home. But in this series, we're talking about things that we should be doing at home, things that we do all the time when we gather here on Sundays at church, things that we really should be doing, though, every day of our lives, not just on Sundays. And so we began a few weeks ago talking about the fact that we should be reading our Bibles at home, because God's Word, it helps guide us and direct us through the ups and downs and the challenges of life. And then we talked about the fact that we should be praying at home. And I mentioned that prayer shouldn't just be a one-sided thing. It's one of the ways that we get to connect with God. And if all we're doing is telling Him all of our wants, all of our needs, everything we think He should do, then we're missing out on receiving His words back to us, which guide us and direct us, as well as bring peace and comfort to our lives, especially in these times. And then last week we talked about worship and the fact that we were created to glorify God, to worship Him. And we should be glorifying God in everything, in all that we do, and delighting in doing it. Now, the next topic we're going to talk about this week is the topic of giving, which I think is a great topic to fall on Mother's Day. Because when I think of moms, I can't help but think of some of the most giving people in the world. I know that's true of my mom, who I know is watching this morning, and so happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. I'm not going to say much more than that because I know I'll start bawling when I think about my mom and how awesome she is. But I do believe that moms are some of the greatest givers. And the fact is, we're all called to be givers. And not just at church when the bucket is passed by us and offering is taken. Like we talked about with worship last week, we're called to really give of our lives day in and day out in many different ways. It's an example that was demonstrated for us by God Himself. We're told in John 3:16, one of the most famous scriptures known, that for God so loved the world, He gave, right? He gave God Himself, the Creator of all things. He is a giver, and He calls us to be givers as well. So what does this mean for us as followers of Jesus? What does it mean to be givers, and what does this giving even really look like for us? Well, as I was pondering these questions and praying about this message, the Lord led me to this scripture, a scripture found in the Old Testament, a section of scripture found in 1 Chronicles. So if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to 1 Chronicles 29. If you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. We'll actually put it up on the screen below me here. But this is what it says in 1 Chronicles 29, 1 through 18. It says this: Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, O God, our Father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all things abundance, for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you." Take a breath. A lot of scripture there this morning. But as we look at the scriptures, we take a closer look at the scriptures this morning. There are three questions that I want to answer when it comes to this idea of giving. The three questions are this: why do we give? How do we give? And what do we give? Now, at the end of these verses, we will learn that giving is a sign of loyalty to God. David writes in verse 18, "O Lord, God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people." Now, what desire is he talking about here? It's this desire to give, the desire to be good stewards of that which God has given to us. David is saying, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever. That's what he's praying here. And keep their hearts loyal to you. So I believe a heart that's loyal to God is a heart that's willing to give. Because I believe it's our love and loyalty to the Lord that compels us to give and to be good stewards of what he's given us. Which really means, which actually leads us here to the first question that I want to answer this morning, which is this. Number one, why do we give? Now, this is a great question because it helps us understand the foundational purpose of stewardship. And it starts with us realizing that everything we have is God's to begin with. Now, many people in our world wouldn't agree with this. Many people would say, well, hey, I've worked hard to get where I'm at. I've worked hard for my money, right? Isn't there a song named titled "I Work Hard for My Money," right? Their argument is that they've worked for it, they've earned it, so it belongs to me, it's mine. But that's not what David says here in these scriptures. In verse 11, it says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours." It's all yours. David says here that everything is his. And do you know what that word "everything" in the original text actually means? Funny thing, it means everything. Everything. It's all his. And so if we believe this scripture to be true, this exposes a fundamental flaw in our world's perspective. It means that our possessions, our money, our lives, everything really belongs to God, not to us. And the reality is, we can take it even a step further. Not only does God own all things, but also everything we have is actually because of Him. In verse 12, David goes on to say, "Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all." So everything we have is His, and everything we have is because of Him, because He's allowed us to receive these things. And so we give because in reality He is the owner and the creator of all things. It's all His to begin with. This is pointed out again in verse 14 as it says this, "Everything comes from you, and we have been given only what comes from your hand." When we understand this truth, we realize that when we give, we are not giving God what belongs to us. We're actually just giving God what's really His in the first place. Or we're giving others. When we give to others, we're giving others what is God's. We're being faithful to be good stewards. And for King David, this act of giving, it was a matter of praise and worship. Like we said last week, worship is much more than just singing. And I think it's important for us to understand that giving is just as much an act of worship to the Lord as singing and praising Him in worship is. Because it shows that we love Him and that we're devoted to Him. It shows God that we trust Him with every area of our lives, and that every aspect of our life is in His hands, that we are all His. So why do we give? Because it's all His to begin with, and we are simply seeking to be good stewards of what He's given us. Now, the second question I'd like to look at this morning is this: how do we give? How do we give? And the thing is that this question really deals with the condition of our heart. Because I've discovered that we can actually give to God and do it with a wrong heart. I believe it's important that when we give to God, we do it for the right reasons. And we do it with the right heart, with the right intent. It's really the delighting aspect that we talked about last week with worship. And in these scriptures, David and his people gave with the right heart. They gave generously to the Lord's work. In verse 14, David, he says this, but who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? You see, I believe God calls us to give the same way that He gives. David and the people of Israel, they gave generously to God because God had given generously to them. And the thing I want us to understand is that the Bible tells us that we should give to God in proportion to how we've been given to how we've been blessed. Which means that's actually going to be different for each of us. You know, it's interesting because you think about it, a billionaire, right, can give $1 million away. And that's huge to us. And it really means absolutely nothing to them. Where someone with very little can give what little they have, and it means everything. generosity is not about how much money we give. It's about the heart behind the giving. This is actually where the principle of the tithe came from. In the Old Testament, they were commanded to give 10% of what had been given to them. And so they gave it back to God, giving it back to Him as a thanksgiving for the blessings that He had bestowed upon them. And one of the things that makes giving in this way so much easier is when we remember that it's not really ours to begin with. It's all His. And I don't know about you, but I found that it's much easier to give away other people's money than it is my own, right? So one of the ways that we give is by giving generously. Another way that we give is by giving willingly. You see, it's one thing to give. It's another thing to give with a willing heart. This is what I mean by giving with the right heart, right? We see two different scriptures in this passage talk about giving willingly. In verse 9, David says, "The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord." And then in verse 17, he says, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." You see, God's desire is that when we give, that we would give both generously and willingly, that we would delight in the process, that we would delight in doing it. And it's this attitude of giving generously and willingly that shows our heart. It shows our love and devotion to God. Now, the third and final question I want to answer this morning is this. What do we give? What is it that we're giving? Now, I believe there's actually three things that we can identify in these scriptures when it comes to what we give. Now, there's more than that, but I want to talk about these three things this morning. In verse 3 through 5, it talks about David and his people giving gold and silver, right? Iron, all this stuff. Now, we don't operate in a lot of gold and silver and iron and those kinds of things, but we do use currency, right? We do use money. And so one of the things that we give is our money or our resources. Now, I know that this is a touchy subject for people. And if I'm being honest, this whole message might be a touchy subject for people. And I got to be honest with you, all right? I don't have a problem on Sunday mornings when the congregation is all here talking about giving. Because I know that they have been around this church, or if they've been around this church at all, they know our heart. We are a church that gives generously to our community, to missionaries, to ministries throughout the world. But to talk about giving money online, where it's out there in this format, I have to admit I was a little nervous because I know that it is a touchy subject. And I think one of the main reasons it's such a touchy subject is because the church at times hasn't done a real good job in this area. The church as a whole is often known for always asking for money, right? And some out there might say begging for money. And I've seen it myself. I've seen that happen at times. And it's unfortunate that this is what a lot of people think about when they think about the church and giving and money. Because I think this mindset says some very negative things about the church. One is it says that we as a church are failing to trust God as our provider. If we're always asking or begging, then we're not showing our church that we trust in Him, that He will provide. And two, I think it means that we're failing to teach people that giving isn't about guilting people to bail the church out of its own financial woes. Giving is about stewardship. It's about love and obedience and devotion to the Lord. You see, contrary to what many people may believe, God doesn't actually need our money, all right? But he does desire for us to give. He desires for us to trust in him and to give generously and willingly of our finances so that we can participate with him in seeing his kingdom extended. He chooses to use us in this process so that we can partner with him in being a blessing to others. And I can say this with the utmost confidence here at Dallas Four Square Church, because we as a church last year, we gave just over 26% of our offerings away through our own tithes and offerings to global and local missions. We are about giving here at Dallas Four Square Church, and that's because our council here, we listen to the Lord. They give generously and willingly to see his kingdom extended throughout our community, throughout our world. And I truly believe the reason God continues to bless our church is because of this. As a matter of fact, you want to hear something pretty crazy? March was a crazy month, right? It's the month when the pandemic hit, when we had 2 weeks with no services. We hadn't started our online services yet. We were kind of trying to figure out what to do, what was going to happen. 2 weeks not meeting, not gathering together. That month, sorry, I'm going to get emotional. That month was the biggest financial month our church has ever experienced in the history of the 8 years that we've been here. During one of the most difficult times we have ever faced as a church, we had people faithful to give and to step up. When many people had no idea what kind of impact this epidemic would have on themselves financially and their own families, they continued to give generously and continued to bless our church, which has enabled us to bless others that are hurting in this process. It's simply a reminder that if we want to be blessed, if we want to experience God's blessing, then I think we need to be blessable. Because I believe that God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. So one of the things that we give is money. It's money. It's our resources. But the reality is it's not the only thing that we're called to give. In verse 5, it tells us that the gold and silver was given so the craftsmen would have the resources to build the temple. And these craftsmen, they were giving their gifts and abilities to help build this temple. And the reality is we should be giving God our gifts and abilities as well. Now, we may not think of ourselves as particularly talented or very gifted people, but the truth is all of us have passions. All of us have things that we are good at. And these are gifts and abilities that God has given us to use for his glory. We have to understand that what he's given us, it's not just about us. Look at me, what I can do. It's about his kingdom. It's never just about us. God has given us these gifts and talents for a reason so that we can use them to glorify him and to help others. Let me give you an example of what I mean here. We have a group of women from our church and actually other churches throughout the community that meet at our church twice a month here. And they make quilts. They make quilts for people in need. And we send those quilts out throughout our community, throughout our state, really throughout our world. And they do it to bless others. We as a church, we actually then pray over these quilts before they're sent out, praying that God would bless those that receive them. And here's the crazy thing. We give $100 each month to the quilting ministry. That's just $1,200 a year for them to provide, buy the supplies and things to make the quilts to bless people. But that group of ladies last year, with that little bit of money that we gave them, they made 244 quilts and actually 355 beanies for little kids to keep their heads warm. And if you modestly valued what we gave away last year, it would be way above $12,500. But on top of that, this group, they sold some special quilts at auction that made over $6,000 that was then donated to disaster relief. What a story. They turned $1,200 into over $18,500 worth of gifts and resources that were donated to bless others. And all of this happened because of a group of amazing women that were willing to give their gifts and talents to the Lord to be used by Him. And this is just one of the examples. We all have ways of giving our gifts and ability to the Lord. And let me just say this, when I talk about giving our gifts and abilities, it doesn't just mean serving here at Dallas Four Square Church. I'm talking about any way that we can give glory to God with our gifts and resources, any way we can give back to Him and bless others. Which leads right into the final thing that I see that we're called to give according to these scriptures, and that is we give our time. Now, this is closely related to giving God our gifts and abilities, because if the craftsmen were to give God their talents in constructing the temple, then they were going to have to give Him a good amount of their time as well. And I've come to realize in this crazy and hectic world that we live in that besides money and resources, our time is probably one of our most precious commodities. It seems like we never have enough time. Now, maybe that's a little different right now in these times that we're in. But if we're to give our gifts and resources to God, then we also need to be willing to give Him our time. Serving in ministry, caring for others, it takes time. Loving others, it takes time. The truth is, most things in life of value take time. And we have to be willing to carve out that necessary time to do the things that God is calling us to do, to make a difference in the world around us. And not just now that we have some extra time, but even when life gets back to normal, whatever that new normal will look like. Because as I shared earlier, everything in this world, it's the Lord's. And everything we have has been given to us by Him, whether that's our money, whether that's our gifts and abilities, whether that's our time. And He has called us to now give these things generously and willingly back to Him, to be good stewards of what He has given us, so that when all is said and done, we may someday hear the voice of the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Giving isn't just something that we do at church. It's something we should be doing at home. It's something that should be an everyday part of our lives, that we give to Him, that we give to others in a way that glorifies God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. And Lord, I know this can be a challenging word when we think of that term giving. What does that look like? What are we talking about? But Lord, You are a God that gave. You gave Your Son. Jesus gave His life. You gave all of that for us. And You have given us so much. And You ask that we just partner with You now in moving forward of giving of our own life, to serve You, to see Your kingdom come, to see Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, I thank You for this word today, and I just pray that You allow this word to speak to each of us right where we're at. What is it that You're speaking to me today, Lord? What is it that You're speaking to each individual? What are the things that You want to encourage us that, man, You're doing well, keep it up? What are the things that You want to challenge us in, Lord, where You're saying, hey, You could improve in these areas? What are those things that You're trying to help us grow in today, Lord? We give You this word. We give You these things, Lord. May they encourage us. May they challenge us. May they help us grow in You. We thank You and we praise You for them. And we give it to You in Jesus' name. Amen.